And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 171. I'm your host, Silas Lindenstein. Samantha is not in today, but welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Of course, this is a special Black and a Half reviews edition where I'll be reviewing today three films. The Suicide Squad, Infinite, and Jungle Cruise. Three movies out that you can see in different locations. And I'm going to cover those. I'm very excited about today. If you're new to the show, okay, this is episode 171. If you're following along, this episode's out of order. Yeah, it's out of order. This is going to come out before 170. I'm fixing this. As many of you know, I recently became a member of the Seattle Film Critics Society. And with that, I am hopefully going to be getting also into some advanced screenings of films. So the reviews editions will need to be coming out the day of the film release in the future. So, which will be much more exciting. I think you'll tune in right away to be able to hear my takes on it before you go out to see the film. That'll be wonderful addition to it. So we're got to figure out a numbering system or how we're going to change the, you know, release times of things to fit in with that. And some of it's going to be unknown. And, you know, some interviews we record a couple weeks in advance. So we'll be in flux. Maybe this will have to move to a completely different platform. Love to hear that from you. Maybe the review section should be a different show completely. You can let me know. You can send me a message at Facebook, Facebook/Black and a Half. You can do that. Or if you're a Patreon member, one of our lovely Patreon members, you can leave a message there in the Patreon group. But by the way, if you want to help support the show more than you are by listening right now, for just as little as $1 a month, you could become a league member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. That's at our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/blackandahalf. And yeah, become a member of the league for just $1 a month. Or, you know, you could step up and become an Inner Circle member. Just a little bit, like Tara Widener, Stephen Ward, Keith Nagel. Be one of them. Step up there. Be a supporter on the show. Get your name mentioned on the shows for as long as I can do that. Before we, you know, once we have 2,000 Patreon members, Inner Circle, I can't just name everybody. I'll try to fit them out. Maybe we'll do one episode where I just name everybody, the whole episode. I don't know what we'll do then. So get in now while we offer that perk. Let everyone know you support it. And of course, if you go to Apple Podcasts and on there, if you can, give us a 5-star rating, that helps immensely. Get us up there, leave some comments, and of course, subscribe, tell your friends. I know a lot of you listen, but don't subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. That helps us. That helps us too. Gets numbers in there. People know that you're committed to the show, that kind of thing. Yeah, and of course, you also know to support, also supporting the show, you can go to the sister website. That's my other show, my home buying podcast. That's at yourbuyingahome.com, where I educate and empower home buyers all across the nation. And if you want to buy a home locally, I can help you out, or I can connect you with a realtor anywhere in the country, pretty much. So, yeah, listen to that show. yourbuyingahome.com. It's top rated on Apple Podcasts. Got like up to number 18. And so we got to get this one to number 18, right? In comedy. Who cares about celebrities? We're gonna bring this through. And hopefully Drew and the reviewing the movies really will help this a lot. So I'm excited. Hopefully it's next month that I'll be getting into some of those screenings. Got a lot of good movies coming, but we'll see that in the future. But today, again, in a moment, we're gonna be reviewing The Suicide Squad, Infinite, and Jungle Cruise. Episode number 171, Black and a Half, reviews.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Impressive.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for staying for the song. Aileen Perron wrote that. She did that mix. Aileen Perron, one of our early guests back in the under 20, I think. Years ago. Okay, so gosh, I want to talk about all these films. I'm going to start off though with Jungle Cruise. Okay. Jungle Cruise adapted based off of the ride. I know that right away just got some people to say no. They don't want to see a show or a movie adapted by on a Disneyland ride. That sounds ridiculous, right? And that's what when I first heard Jungle Cruise adapted from the Disney theme park, I'm like, I am not going to go see that. And then they said the words starring Dwayne Johnson and said, I will be there opening night. Are you kidding me? Dwayne Johnson? Love him and everything. So I'm like, you know what? I'll give this a chance. So I did. Jungle Cruise, number 2021, rated PG-13, adventure fantasy, 2 hours, 7 minutes, written by Michael Green, Glenn Ficarra, and John Requa, directed by Juam Colet-Serra. Gonna be looking up that pronunciations later. Okay, the cast, Dwayne Johnson, Emily Blunt, Edgar Ramirez, Jack Whittle, Jesse Plemons, and Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti, he shows up in like everything now, right? He had that like lead in Sideways, right? And then he's just shows up in every movie. Just every like 3 times a year, you'll just randomly spot him playing some character. Okay, the story. Based on Disneyland's theme park ride, where a small riverboat takes a group of travelers through a jungle filled with dangerous animals and reptiles, but with a supernatural element. Boy, that does not even come close to summing the actual movie. That's their In the Words one. So essentially, here's a story that we know, you know, early on. Emily Blunt, she is an archaeologist. She's kind of a female Indiana Jones, trying to make it in a man's world. This takes place like during World War One. And, you know, when women weren't looked at as archaeologists. And so they, her brother kind of posing as his papers early on in the movie. Anyway, she finds there's this item, okay, that was in this archaeological museum it's going to be sold off to somebody. So she went in there and snuck and got it because it's like the key to this, trying not to give this away, this magical like tree and legend, right? So sort of like it kind of reminds me of that the search for like the Fountain of Youth, kind of, from the old, you know, conquistadors or whatnot. So Emily's gonna go look for this in the Amazon jungle. So she got this clue to help her find it. So she goes there. Dwayne Johnson plays a riverboat captain there, and that's where he, you know, you just get the sense early on that he's, oh, it's what he does. We don't know why. We don't get why he's there. He's having a hard time making ends meet, but you know, he's this burly, handsome Dwayne Johnson character, right? So she's there. She has some money. He plays Frank Wolf. That's who he plays. Emily is Dr. Lily. Tears of the Moon Tree. So he just says he will guide her for so much money to find this place. And you kind of get, you know, he does a couple things that make you realize he's kind of manipulated the situation to get her to use him, and not just for the money. There appears to be something else going on, you know, first little clue of it. And Yeah, so then they're off to search for this sort of Fountain of Youth type tree together. And then, of course, there's going to be lots of... It's an action adventure, so there's going to be lots of obstacles in their way. It could be tribesmen. It could be these cursed ghost-like people. Just the Amazon itself. It's a dangerous place, right? So that's the story of it. And adventure ensues. Let me go over my three best things about this film. Number one, Dwayne Johnson. Like, I don't sound like I have a man crush on him. Maybe I do. I don't know. But I just feel like he does make everything better. He's funny. He's got great timing. He brings great energy into his performances. And this seemed like a great role for him. I mean, I think it was very much written to him once he signed on. Number two, the plot twists and the story. It's a really fun story. There are some twists on it that you don't see coming. And it's always nice. I feel a lot of these films are overly predictable. This did not seem predictable. Number three, it's funny and very fun. Again, the story's fun. It's pretty funny for an action adventure. The chemistry between the two, from Dwayne Johnson and Emily, they have wonderful chemistry on the screen. I really appreciated that for most of the film, there did not seem to be any sort of romantic element, like not even close to that. It was just two people with missions that were aligning that allowed them to banter a lot. They great chemistry between the two. Near the end, you get a little bit of what I don't like, but early on, I really liked that they kept a very straight platonic type of relationship between the two, and it just kept driving the story. I mean, it's a 2-hour and 7-minute film. It does not seem like it. It seems like it's under an hour and a half. It goes by so quick. The three worst things about the film. Okay, the number one, the message on women's roles doesn't pack the power when you aren't actually fighting it, right? So they have this thing about how women can't be archaeologists. And then part of it was like, well, can women not be in movies either? There's only like one other woman in the film, barely. It doesn't pass the Bechdel test, first of all. If you're having a movie about including women in an industry, or you're speaking on the sexism of an industry, you shouldn't yourself have sexism within that film. Granted, I think they would have to work a little harder, maybe, to get another woman in the script, but they could have. Yeah, yes, there is another. There's one other woman, but plays them very. It's a minor part, and it could have. It was just man heavy. So the whole thing was very man heavy. And it wouldn't have bothered me so much if they weren't trying to make this message about this feminist message and then not doing it in the actual film. Number two. Okay, this comment is going to get me in trouble. We never hear the bad guy's perspective. Now, clearly the bad guys are bad guys and what they do is wrong in there, right? Fine. I just like it in movies when we at least hear them try to explain themselves. And really what we're fed about them is completely from other people in it. So, you know, you could say their actions speak for themselves. Yes, I would agree with that. But you, to really even get to hate the villains as much, which make the heroes much more compelling and interesting, you want to understand the perspective from the bad guy. And that was a lost moment that doesn't show up in it. Number three. Okay, I get it. It's an action adventure, maybe fantasy at times. There's some ultra convenience of timing the way this pans out at the end that made me go, "What? Then never would have happened." Like, wait, if this didn't happen exactly as it did, when it did, this whole thing would have fallen apart. Really, that much? It just kind of. I know they have to wrap it up and try to make. In the excitement of trying to make it more exciting, they kind of, I just say make it unrealistic. The whole thing's pretty unrealistic. But they, I don't know. I think they just stretched it out of the world. They didn't need to like make this convenience, sake of convenience, happen just to try to wrap up the story. They didn't. Felt like they were trying to just, they go, oh, we got to raise the stakes up here. And I'm like, yeah, but then you're kind of taken out of the world of sorts. Which, it's at the end of the film. Can't talk about it. But, okay, the lesson. Always have this in my reviews. What's a lesson from the movie? And you look, dude, I don't know the message on feminism. I'm not going to go there because they failed at that in their execution. I'm going to go with the Amazon jungle is dangerous. Okay. In a variety of ways, whether you're about to be bit by a dangerous animal or attacked by ghosts of conquistadors, it's dangerous. Amazon jungle is dangerous. And I don't know, it's probably a better message about like, finding redemption, something like that. I don't think there is. I think that's about it. I think that's about surface level of the film. And hey, yeah, I love deep films, but also I love a good just popcorn flick, and that's what this is. Okay, the final word on it. Another fun film from a reliable Dwayne Johnson. Great chemistry from our leads. You won't leave this ride a better person, but you definitely go back and take it the next time you visit. See what I did there? Made the review like a ride. Yeah, which the movie is a ride. Okay. All right. The verdict. Okay, now we all know, if you listened before, I have a 3L system, right? I have only three choices that I can choose from for each film. You can love it, you can like it, or I can lose it. Love it, that's a film you walk out, you pick up the phone, you text right away, you tell people, you post on Facebook, gotta go see this film right now. Gotta go. Like it, it's a broad range. You know, you can even like a bad film. You can. There's something redeemable about it, right? You can like it. Like it's a film like that's on. I'm probably going to put down the remote and watch it. I'm probably going to like check it out. I'll tell you if there's an opportunity for you to see it, you should. Yeah, pick this over the other film. I liked it. Oh, yeah, I liked that film. Watch it. And then lose it. I took the bullet for you so that you don't have to, right? Don't see the film under any circumstances. Avoid it. If you have to break up with your boyfriend because they want to see the film, you do it because it's that bad. You lose that film. Question their taste. Why aren't they listening to Silas? So I'm going to give Jungle Cruise 2021 a strong like it. I very much liked it. And that's why it's doing well in the box office. It just keeps plugging along when most films are dropping. After the first weekend right now with everything with Corona, this one's sticking around. It's good for good reason. So good, like it. All right, next. Jungle Cruise is available. Sorry, it's in theaters, and also you could do Disney Plus premiere access on it, which I know it's controversial because it's a bunch of money. Theaters is my one thing that I'm kind of doing in public. I'm trying to find showings that are not very attended until they start letting me in the previews, and then I can have a non private showings, right? I'm trying to go when it's not going to be full. When I think it's going to be full, I try to get early showings or whatnot, like on a Friday. And then, yeah, so that's what I'm doing. It's so much better. This film especially is so much better just in person or in on the big screen than it would be on the little TV. I know you're like, oh, I have a sound bar. You know, it doesn't make up for the whole experience in a theater. So that's the one place I'm just going in. I'm masking up and I'm watching. I think you can too. They're doing good jobs in the theaters. All right. Second film. Let's go with Infinite. Infinite 2021. This is airing on. It is a Paramount Plus network. So streaming service. Original I don't know if it's a, not original film. I'm guessing they just bought the rights for distribution on it. I did print out some history. I didn't look at that part yet. So streaming on Paramount Plus. So, you know, if you got that, or, you know, your friend has it, watch it with them. You know, I'm not going to tell you to get their password and use it to watch it, but that's between you and the movie gods. Infinite 2021. It's rated PG-13. It's an action sci-fi film, 1 hour and 46 minutes, written by Ian Shore, though it is based off of a story by someone else that's off of another. It's a convoluted thing. We'll get into that. Directed by Antoine Fuqua. The cast: Mark Wahlberg, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Sophie Cookson, Jason Mantzoukas, Rupert Friend, Toby Jones, and Dylan O'Brien. In their own words, they said, a man discovers that his hallucinations are actually visions from past lives. I mean, sounds interesting. It's way more interesting than that, though. So here it is. The lead character, Mark Wahlberg, as you might suspect as soon as you heard his name, like, oh, he's got to be the lead of this. He plays a man named Evan. Okay, Evan's trying to get a job, but he's got a little bit of a past that's hurting him. He's been medicated. He sounds like schizophrenia is what he was diagnosed with. He may have spent some institution time, but he was diagnosed with schizophrenia because he keeps having these hallucinations, dreams, or things that just he's in the middle of something and this suddenly he feels like he's somewhere else and seeing this. And so he assumes that these are that he's crazy, right? And then suddenly he discovers these people walk into his life, discover that he is reincarnated. And they want him back to join this team because there's two factions. Okay. So here's what it is. A little spoilery about the plot. Okay. Just not what happens, but apparently there are 500 people in the world that, so we all get reincarnated, right? We all get reincarnated. That's part of the story, but there's 500 people in the world that remember. They remember each life, and there have become, there's a faction. It's a war, two factions here. One that believes you should take this responsibility, this power to improve yourself on each life and do good for man. And there's the other faction who actually wants to end the world, because if there's no more bodies for them to reincarnate into, they believe it'll stop. And they want to stop. They want death. And so the good side, I guess, the one who doesn't want to destroy the world, they're apparently losing this battle, and they need to find the egg. Okay, the egg is what they're after, and I think Mark Wahlberg's character is the only one who knows where the egg is. And we see this from a previous, like, a scene that starts out the movie that. And it's weird because you're like, oh, so this one of the characters becomes Mark Wahlberg later. You get your life. You somewhere in your teens, usually you start remembering your past life, and you realize what's going on. It all comes in then, where Wahlberg's character, that happened, but they just thought he was going crazy and put him on drugs, and it repressed everything. So. I mean, they make it. It sounds really plausible. Like if you're accepting the idea, you're like, okay, well, no, it really made sense. They had this. It makes sense. I don't want to ruin the villain part of it, but he, Yeah, so that's the story. And I think that's way more exciting than hallucinating guy realizes past lives. Whatever. Yeah, so you remember everything from your past life. So he's remembering stuff from when he was a caveman, right? All the way through. Speaks tons of languages. He's also like a trivia nerd. It's because he like lived through everything, so he knows. Three best things about this film. It's a very inventive story. Absolutely love the story. Okay. Number two, great action sequences. That's why you know, like, I'm not sure this was planned to be on Paramount Plus because it's pretty high budget. I would have liked to see it on the big screen, but yeah. Man, this guy's name. Number three, Chiwetel Ejiofor's performance. He's the bad guy in a lot of stuff now, like, right? He's a badass. He's the bad guy of it, and you do, you know, as I was talking about before, the lacking in Jungle Book is he gets to explain his point of view, and you get it. You get it. You're like, well, it's kind of wrong what you're doing, dude, but you get why he's doing it, and you have the sympathy, and that kind of helps. You know, Wahlberg is Wahlberg in this film. He's like the same in similar in a lot of films. I mean, he's somewhat likable on this. He does some action. There's nothing to write home about, but like, because he has such a evil nemesis in this, you really root for him. You want the bad guy to go down, and you need a good bad guy to make a good guy. Yeah, you have to have it. Three worst things about this film. Number one, the pacing. But it feels like it never quite finds a gear, you know? Like, it feels like this movie is driving, but then it just keeps shifting. But it doesn't know if it's trying to shift down to the second or third, and so it's, like, clunky. It's not quite smooth. There's so much of the story, and I think my guess is this story probably should have been a series. You know, and so you're trying to, and that's what I feel like happens a lot. Like when a book has so much depth that, and they're trying to fit into this just 1 hour, 46 minute film, when in fact it this story needs to be told over like 8 hours. It should be like a limited series. Number two, there's at times that the writing kind of feels like it's a made for TV movie. You know, the way some of it's shot. Great action sequences again, but just when it's not, it's getting close to Lifetime movie sometimes with the acting. Chiwetel aside. And then number three, the writing. The writing wasn't great. It was good concept, not great. The lesson of the film, memories are power. Ooh, I like that. And I like that I think that also is true for us who can't remember past lives. The memories that we do carry on from earlier on in our life become really a good source of power. And I think, yeah, I like that. I think about these. The lessons is what I like. I wrap around like, what is the lesson of the film? Final word, it's a fascinating concept with a mediocre execution. It's not as riveting as it should be, but you'll find yourself surprisingly engaged to see where the story goes. My verdict on this, I'm going to give it a like it. I will. I did like the story, and it's so different from a lot of them, a lot of the stuff out there that I think it is worth a watch. I don't regret my time watching it. I wish it would have been better. I think it could, man. Maybe it still does have potential from this besides spin off to a series. Like it could be a series of films. Maybe that's it. Even if it was like just a 3-part trilogy, but it's hard to like take a new property sort of that the public's not aware of and say, well, we're going to make a trilogy of this. I get that that's hard. But they could have. I don't think they can make a trilogy from this now. But if they were to reboot it, retry it under a different name, different actors. Okay. The last film that I reviewed today, going over, is The Suicide Squad 2021. Not to be confused with Suicide Squad 2016. No, this is The Suicide Squad. That's how they, everyone's like trying to figure out how do we rename this? Because apparently it was like, it's not really a sequel to the last one. It's in that, it exists in that world, kind of. Same characters, but they insist that it's, James Gunn, the director, insists that it's not a sequel. And apparently the one for the original one says, okay, so Suicide Squad 2021, rated R. Oh, and very R. Okay, very violent. Action drama, 2 hours and 13 minutes, written and directed by James Gunn. The cast, Margot Robbie returns as Harley Quinn. Then we have Idris Elba, John Cena, Joel Kinnaman, Sylvester Stallone, as King Shark, Viola Davis, Jai Courtney, and Peter Capaldi. The story, in their own words, supervillains, Harlequin, Bloodsport, Peacemaker, and a collection of nutty cons at Bel Rev Prison join the super secret, super shady Task Force X as they are dropped off at the remote and enemy-infused island of Corto Maltese. Hats off to this film, first of all. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic film. I loved it. I think it is violent and gory, and that's the part that I don't like too much. But like, it's definitely rated R. Definitely like sucks you into this comic book. You feel like you're in a comic book. You know, I mean, it's a live action comic book, but just the way, I mean, sort of the way all of the violence is almost comic book in nature because it's so almost over the top. What a difference a director makes. I mean, this cast was so comfortable with each other. It wasn't cheesy, but they really like, they connected and you kind of like were rooting. They're all villains. Everybody in this is a villain. If you know if you know this at all, I said super villains, but like they're all villains and they do heinous things, but you're like, you know, you're rooting for them because they're all like, you understand where they come from. They do just enough backstory on each character. Like every single one, you kind of get the backstory on them and you care. And yeah, you want to see them succeed in their own way. And it's weird because, you know, there's no real hero in it. I mean, it's a full anti-hero movie. And I mean, compared to the night and day compared to the first one. I didn't think the first one was that bad. I mean, the extended edition, I think I saw. I didn't think the first one was that bad as a lot of other people. But now after watching this one, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that other was crap. This is great. This is a great film. Thank you so much, James Gunn, for popping in and doing this. Viola Davis is in there again. You know what? Like, so, who was it? Viola Davis plays Amanda Waller. She returns to the director of Argus, who runs this task force. I think she's so good. I didn't even recognize her. Like, I was like, oh, why'd they recast? Why did Viola Davis get recast to somebody else? No, it was her. It's just that she kind of like, her point of view changed in this and like it changed her body. And she's such a good actor that you'd like, wow. Like, I didn't even recognize you. That's how good you are. It's not Mark Wahlberg in the latest movie or The Rock. You know, can love him and all, but they're just new people. She transforms. And she's not even that huge of a role, but she's pivotal. She's pivotal, but not huge. But overall, just, like, if you can handle the gore of sorts, and there's a lot of smushing, you know, smushing of heads, kind of heads coming off, that kind of thing. I recommend to see it for sure. The three best things about this. One, as I was saying, great depiction of a comic book world. Number two, lots of surprises. I didn't know where this was going most of the time. And they starts off with a pretty good trick on you. And that keeps you on your toes. Number three, better than the first one. Okay, the worst about this film. The three worst things. Excessive gross violence. Number two, as outstanding of an actor as Viola Davis is, I feel like I just commented on how great it was that she was like, she seemed like a completely different person. I did feel like her character was kind of one note in it. I guess she ends up being the bad guy sort of in a way. Sort of. I just didn't want to see I wanted to see the many layers of Viola Davis, you know, like, cause I know there's like 50 of them, right? But we just got to see kind of a one note, one dimension, and she can do better. And number three, the final big bad is tough to take seriously. It's hard. And I get it. It's a comic book. It is a comic book, and a lot of stuff is ridiculous in the film. And then I get here, and suddenly it's like I'm way more picky. Why? I'm hard to figure out, aren't I? I don't know. It's just a little ridiculous. And it's the final big bad, so I can't spoil it, but you figure it out early on. The lesson, bad guy is a point of view. Okay, history's written by the winners. That's why some of them are considered bad guys. The final word. The latest entry into rated R superhero films succeeds in many ways that the first Suicide Squad didn't. Not for the faint of heart, this physically brutal film keeps a fast pace throughout while still helping you hit an emotional connection with every character. And the verdict, I'm going to give it a really strong like it. Like, it's almost borderline love it. I don't know that I'll watch it again. Unless my daughter wants to see it. No, again, she well saw it with me. Yeah, I did take a 14-year-old with it. Yeah, it's rated R, but she handled it. It was fine, but it gets a strong like it. Like a like it plus. Okay? So, there you go. So, folks, those are the three films. Suicide Squad gets a like it plus, Infinite gets a like it, and a Jungle Cruise gets a like it. So three successful films for you today. Very happy to recommend those. Oh, and Suicide Squad is playing in the theaters or free on HBO Max if you have that. But I definitely recommend the big theater for this one. Lots of explosions and stuff. And I think maybe I already didn't take them that seriously, but you might take the big bad more seriously on a big screen. How can we even call them big bad if it's on a little screen? It's a little bad, right? Okay. Maybe not. Anyway, those are the three films. And thank you for watching. Again, big shout out to our Patreon listeners and to everyone going to Apple Podcasts right now and giving us a 5-star review. Big thanks to the Seattle Film Critics Society. This will be my first reviews where I get to use that hashtag. And everyone else listening, you've made this all worth it. And until next time, Black and a Half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Live long and prosper.